Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of Locked On Cavaliers. As always, I'm Chris Manning, your host from Fear the Sword. Today, as I mentioned yesterday, going to have a quick recap show up next with Sean Hyken from Locked On Bulls. Recorded it in the bowels of Quicken Loans Arena at a little after midnight last night, so if you hear some unusual noises that I normally would not like to have on the show, like people doing some teardown work and a bunch of stuff, that is what you're hearing. Just couldn't really find a place for a quiet recording session in the queue. They tore down everything pretty quick after locker room availability last night, so it kind of just is what it is in terms of noise levels and the like. So hopefully the podcast, you can hear it well enough. Sean, it was cool to actually get to record with someone in person from another pod like Sean. Hope you guys enjoyed. Again, find us on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. Give us that 5-star rating and review. Submit those mailbag questions to lockedoncavs@gmail.com or to @lockedoncavs on Twitter. We'll be back tomorrow to preview Friday's Nets game, and as well as the Cavs' 6-game road trip that begins in Brooklyn, ends in Oakland. And we'll see if the Cavs will actually have more than 9 players for that road trip. So we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Again, here's today's show with Sean Hyken from The Athletic and Locked On Bulls.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone. This is Chris Manning.
I'm with Sean Hyken.
We are in Quicken Loans Arena after Cavs Bulls to recap what was a kind of an odd game between the Cavs and the Bulls. The Banana Boat Squad showed up between LeBron and Dwayne Wade. The Bulls win this game. And it was just, Sean, it was just kind of a weird game on kind of all levels.
Well, I mean, a lot of things, because, you know, coming in, obviously, Kyrie didn't play, Kevin Love didn't play. We didn't know whether LeBron and Wade were going to play until about 10 minutes before the game. You know, neither team said whether they were going to play, and then they both walked out during warm-ups, and it was like, okay, they're going
to
play.
Yeah, LeBron eating some melon as he's waiting to warm up.
Absolutely, right. And so I think they just kind of decided, you know, they're tight because they were teammates in Miami for 4 years. So, you know, they had to play each other 4 times a year. Now they're in the same division. They were going to do that. So, you know, it was a weird game, and then, I mean, Jimmy Butler was awful the first 3 quarters, and then he just completely took over in the fourth quarter and really put the game away. It kind of seemed like the Bulls, and this was before LeBron even came back in, because LeBron had the ankle injury in the third quarter.
Yeah, and I assumed he was just going to sit.
I assumed they were at that point, because I think the Cavs were up there. If we don't win this game, we're just going to. And but then the reserves got it back to within like 4. Would have been a pretty bad look for the Bulls if they had blown a 17-point lead to the Cavs reserve.
Oh. Kind of normally when he'll check back in the fourth, and they got excited when he comes. Like, okay, like, they're coming, and he's sick, and he finished with a good game by, like, most people's standard. Good LeBron, and this is, like, a bad LeBron
game. And that's just,
game.
Like, this is just a testament to, like, to, you know, tell me, okay, this guy finished the game with 31 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. For most guys, you're like, wow, that's one of his best games. Register as a good LeBron game, which is great.
Yeah, and he's been really, really good. The Cavs, like, you know, we think about all the guys that are playing really great. LeBron has been right up there this year. I think the box score numbers aren't great. Jimmy Butler was the star of this game. And by the way, if you do hear any noise
down the arena, so shout out to this guy who was just driving a forklift right behind us. That's after these games.
Yeah, but originally when we tried this, there was like a buzzer going off from the...
Yeah, so we started it out, like, just went off, and it was just undoable, so... Yeah.
But Jimmy Butler, the star he just had against the Hornets, but Jimmy Butler is awesome, and I think, like, if it weren't for Giannis, I think we'd be talking about Jimmy Butler more, because he's been awesome every time I watched him play.
In terms of just his tonight bases and how much he means to a team, just in a vacuum, I think he would be in the MVP conversation, yeah, yeah. Just so beyond what anybody else is doing. And B, the Bulls aren't going to win enough games for him to get serious considered. Been, you know, I've said for a while, like this summer when all this trade stuff was going on, and you know, the league, I think he's bordering on top 10.
Well, could you imagine, like, looking back, if they would have actually done Chris
stuff was ever as serious as that? The Celtics stuff was a lot more serious.
Which was, what was the package for Butler?
I don't think both Crowder and Bradley were on the table, which is probably why they didn't do it. But
yeah,
like,
you probably need to get both those guys. He's the reason the Bulls won this game.
He's the reason the Bulls won a lot of games that they've won this season. He's the reason they won Charlotte. He's the reason they won that game against the Lakers back in L.A., his first 40-point game of the year. Just all kinds. He's what he's meant to the Bulls. Like, you can't overstate it.
Yeah, as we look at what this game means for both teams, for the Cavs, this doesn't matter all that
this
much.
This game means, I think I said this on Twitter at some point during the game, like, when the Bulls were kind of running away with it, I just was like, this game clearly just means so much more to the Bulls than it does to the Cavs. Because with the, you know, the Bulls now, they, you know, they win this game, they're back at 500, which is basically around where they need to stay to keep themselves in the race to get in the playoffs. I still think they ultimately will get into the playoffs if they just stay around 500 and just stay, you know, keep treading water. The Cavs, first of all, Kyrie and Love didn't play, so this tells them nothing about, like, where they are as a team. It'd be like an indicative thing,
like,
and also
Jordan McGray's, like, allowed to take his own, like, isolation shots in this game, and like that.
And it's just like, you know, the Cavs, as we've well established, the Cavs, they don't get the one seed. Like, let's say that, you know, LeBron decides to take a 2-week sabbatical in Toronto, and it's gonna matter at all because the Cavs are just gonna, as long as they get to the conference finals, then they can flip the switch and actually
even like the 8 seed. I would probably pick them to get out of the Eastern
Conference.
Like, they're just insanely good.
Like, until further notice, we'll always pick in any series in the East, the team that has LeBron over the team that doesn't have LeBron.
Exactly. For the Bulls, this game matters because they're in a bit of a dogfight for that 8 seed. The Wizards are right there. The Knicks, for whatever it's worth, the underperforming Pistons are there. The Pacers are there. The Bucks are
but
just
that,
a little
I mean,
bit
the whole
front
thing,
of them as well.
There is a 4.5 game separation between the 4th seeded Hornets and the 12th seeded Magic. Like, it's so clustered right now that any of these teams, and it's the reason I kind of feel like the Bulls are still, I think, going to make the playoffs. Like, you look at some of these other teams, the Hawks, you know, we're starting to hear these Paul Millsap trade rumors. Maybe they'll decide to blow it up and trade him, and said that maybe they're not capable of playing defense.
Yeah.
So,
like, it's all sort of a mess. But, like, I would take that a little bit. The Rondo stuff in itself is just chaotic.
That's not just Wade that says that. I've talked to a lot of people, you know, players, coaches, you know, front office, about as well as he could have. And, you know, maybe there's a little bit of selfish reasons for him to do that, because, like, he leaves his 4th team on bad terms in 2 years with how much his performance has declined. You know, if for the 4th time in 2 years he leaves a team on bad terms and just kind of flames out, he might not get another NBA job. Like, he at this point, this might be the end of the line for him if he doesn't handle this well. Because if he handles this well and shows, like, look, this wasn't an ideal situation for me, but, like, I still, like, I stayed engaged and mentored the young guys, then he could maybe talk, another team might be able to talk themselves into, look, you know, we can bring him on as, like, a veteran point guard who can, you know, play some minutes and mentor the young guys. Like, if he like, blew up and, you know, became a distraction and then they bought him out, like, this week, then, you know, he's probably never getting another NBA job.
Yeah, to me, China always feels like the likely place for him, just because
his boy Josh Smith
is playing in China.
Just like him and Rondo driving the lane and not shooting any layups and just dishing it out to Josh Smith for three. Josh Smith averaging like 38 points.
Yeah.
I feel like every ex-NBA player that goes to China averages like 45 points a game. Yeah. Jimmer's destroying people in China right now.
Yeah. Rondo could just average a triple-double by, like, not shooting, just getting crap thrown over his randomly. But, like, I just think that's, like, inevitable for him, because why the Bulls, I know that they paid him all this money, but what's the point of having him if he's not playing? And you can, and why would a contender sign him? Like,
I can think of one.
Who would the contender be? Do you think?
Well, I don't know about should, but I can think of a team that would.
Who?
There's a team in the West that's coached by a guy who coached him in Boston, who also has a penchant for signing players that he coached in 2008 or 2009.
The Clippers would.
I mean, hey, Chris Paul's hurt right now. Like,
he is. I mean,
they could use the depth.
The Clippers would go from, like, being the unlikable team to, like, the, like, okay, we're gonna get in a fist fight with you.
But you know what? They have they have Raymond Felton, and he's been playing well. And I think that it tells you all you need to know about where Rajon Rondo is that saying that he would be a downgrade from Raymond Felton.
Yeah.
In 2017,
Oh man, if Doc signed Rondo, I'm here for that. Like, and then KG assistant coaching or signing.
Oh,
that'd
be great. Paul Pierce is there.
Get
most of the team back.
You're not getting
Ray Allen back anytime soon because he and Rondo are not. Hey, actually, this was actually funny. We were in Boston at the beginning of the season. And this was the day that Ray Allen put out his letter on the Players Tribune announcing that he was retiring, which is kind of, he hadn't played for 2 years. And so we asked Rondo, like, if he has any thoughts on Ray Allen announcing retirement. He was just like, I thought he'd been retired.
Yeah.
Like, those two did not like each other by the end of the time in Boston. Yeah,
just completely shading him. But to just kind of bring it back to this game, we're going to keep this a little bit shorter because of the noise and the time and stuff. But, Sean, I mean, just, and I guess I'll ask you this about the Bulls, too.
Sure.
Do you have any? Did you learn anything about the Cavs from this game? Is there anything that like you that surprised you, or that you learned about this team that you were like, oh, okay, that kind of makes sense, or like that surprised you at all about this game?
No. I literally just like I'm at the point with the Cavs now, where I was with the Spurs a few years ago, where it's like nothing. You know, obviously the Spurs have fallen off the last couple of years, but I'm talking about like 2013, 2014 when they were just a buzzsaw that nobody in the West could deal with. It's just like if they lose a regular season game, or you know. Some guy, you know, Tony Parker sits out, or Kawhi or Duncan or whoever sits out. It's like, who cares? Because they have that. So with the Cavs, it's the same way. You know, tonight, obviously, with Kyrie and Love out, if we assume they're both going to be out. I mean, because they've been doing well without him. But yeah. DeAndre Liggins is in their starting lineup now. Once they get JR back,
quite wrap my mind around
Bulls
the
legend Mike Dunleavy.
Yeah, I mean, but he was healthy. The Cavs had 9 active guys for this year, but like
he has back problems. He had back problems all last year in Chicago. He's just. That's about it. At this
point. He might be Sean Marion 2.0 for the Cavs, just a veteran that doesn't
work
out.
Yeah, because I remember because he was still pretty good in Dallas the year before. And so when they signed him and they got him for the minimum, and I was just like, oh wow, they got Sean Marion. Like,
and it just didn't work because he wasn't really shooting well and teams were ignoring him and it was just all this complicated stuff.
Once they get to the playoffs, they've got everybody healthy. They're going to sweep whoever they played in the first two rounds against the Warriors, and then that's when it's going to get interesting.
Yeah, assuming health, of course. I'll just say it's about the Bulls really quick. This big point guard, one rookie of the year, and can't shoot and all this stuff, but he did some stuff tonight that was some defensive stuff. I like what Michael Williams did.
So my colleague, Stephen Noe at The Athletic, missed threes in succession. It was like air ball, and then one that just like goes way off the backboard, and not even a shooter than Rondo. But other than that, you know, he's a bigger point guard who sees the floor well. He also a shooter that he's like averse to
he's like shook at this point.
Right, he just like anything. if he drives to the basket, you know he's not going to go for lip. He's going to kick it out to a shooter, which is not great because the Bulls don't really have any shooters on their team for him to kick it out to. But with MCW, he's going to attack and he's actually going to go for a lip. And he's not, even though he can't shoot them, he's not afraid to shoot an open three if he gets it. And the other thing is the difference between him and Rondo. Rondo has basically not tried on defense in 4 years.
Yeah.
MCW is going to pick guys up full court. He has a lot of energy on that end. He'll stay with guys. He'll, you know, go for steals. He actually has energy on that end. He has length. Like, he gives them, I don't think he's necessarily their long-term starting point guard, but he's definitely more of a rotation piece than maybe I even thought he would be when they traded for him.
I think that's exactly true. I don't think
if they had other shooters around him, the problem with his roster is that basically if those two guys don't have it going, the Bulls have zero shooters.
Or Dwayne Wade hits three threes.
Right, which is, you know, and then he's just gone right back.
LeBron both do this thing where, like, I feel like sometimes, of course they're in both, not remembering this casually, and I'm just like... Like, you guys are trolling us.
Well, no, it's the same. I mean, it's a little bit more so with Wade because he legitimately was a 40% three-point shooter for the whole season.
Yeah.
I'm never surprised when I see LeBron's season. Whenever he knocks down a three, I'm just like, oh, huh, that's a thing now.
Yeah. Well, LeBron recently, like, someone asked him, like, are you surprised you're taking this many threes? He's kind of just like, why would I be surprised? I'm good at that. Like, I can shoot.
Well,
I told you guys.
He's like, well, if you're LeBron, like, nothing that you do on the court is going to surprise you.
Yeah, exactly. But just a weird game. Taj Gibson also is awesome.
Taj Gibson is awesome.
He's owned the Cavs.
He's going to help a contender out so much at the deadline.
Oh, that's sad for the Bulls.
It is sad, but it's also, you know, he needs to, you know, he's not, no matter what, I don't think he's going to be back this year because he's a free agent. He's going to want to get paid. He's going to be 31. And, you know, he should go out and get paid by somebody.
And a contender could probably get him for less than they would get Paul Millsap.
Well, that's the exact thing. Like, if you're the Raptors, say, like, a team that, you know, if they feel like their window is right now to really try to compete with the Cavs, if they don't want to give up what the Hawks are going to want for Millsap, if you can get Taj, I'm just spitballing, if you can get Taj for, like, Norm Powell in a late first rounder, that's a deal that's going to help them right now.
And don't think about Patrick Patterson.
No, exactly.
So good for them. Yeah, I think that would be great. That would be kind of interesting to see. I the Bulls to me are just they're fascinating for some reason. Messes are fascinating, and like I like sometimes miss watching really like crappy basketball.
Game. That I took at the finals in 2015 of the dude. So me and Danny LaRue, and there was a dude ordering food. And he had a Dion Waiters shirt. It's been a staple. And I saw a shout out to Cavs fans, by the way, because there was a Chris Mims jersey tonight.
Cavs jersey game.
Hughes when I was here for the finals last year, which was excellent. You know where... where
Ira Neuble sometimes too pop up.
In the picture of the Mims jersey. And he was like, did you see any Bob Surras? I had that one as a LeBrons and Kyries. And when you have, like, one of the five greatest players of all time, that's the jersey that you're going to get.
Also,
I still remember walking into... which game was it? Was it game three? It was the one where Delly, like, went nuts. This was the 2015.
Right.
This was the year the Warriors won. But for game four, and staffers, like, by the media room are literally just, probably just, like, taking up space at a Goodwill somewhere in the Cleveland area.
Yeah, there's probably, like, you could probably go get a Delly...
Yeah.
On clearance, which is kind of ridiculous. But we're just kind of, again, kind of keep this podcast kind of a weird game. Both teams are kind of just going along. What's next for the Bulls in the next week or so? What's
up
for
them next? Toronto Saturday. They actually have a pretty tough schedule. They always match up well with Toronto, but their upcoming schedule is pretty rough. They've got Toronto Saturday, Oklahoma City Monday, and then they've got a back-to-back in Washington, and then they go to New York. And they come back, and I think they play the Pelicans. But they have a pretty ugly schedule between now and the All-Star break. And then they have a 6-game road trip at the beginning of February. They play the Thunder, the Rockets, and the Warriors.
Yeah.
So, like, if they are still at 500 by the All-Star break, I think you have to consider the season thus far a success. Because it gets pretty rough for them.
Yeah, Cavs, by the way, 6-game road trip. Start in Brooklyn, end in Oakland, which is a very big dichotomy.
That's the
MLK Day game on a Monday. Going from Brooklyn and then playing the Suns, then ending up at Oracle is like a weird progression of the quality of teams you're going to play. Don't know if Kyrie is going to play Friday. Ty Lue said, "I have no expectations," which is very weird.
There's literally no reason for you to try to Kyrie get 100%. If they lose a couple of games that maybe they would have won with Kyrie, like, who cares? Like, as good as the one on Christmas was.
Yeah, I think the issue with Kyrie is that we don't actually know what the injury diagnosed it, but they haven't exactly said, like, okay, this is what this is. Kevin Love just ate some bad sea bass and lost a bunch of weight and is still not feeling
well.
That's
not like a lot of guys were getting sick.
Yeah, I think there's a
like, there's a thing going around. Even some of the beat writers had were talking about how it was going around to them too.
Yeah, when you're around those guys all the time, like guys like Jason Lloyd and Varden and stuff,
right? You're gonna get sick. That I was talking to.
Yeah, it's like you're gonna get sick when you're on the team all the time. But so listeners, we'll try to do a higher quality version of a Locked On Bulls, Locked On Cavs crossover again at some point because this was we made
we're sorry about we're sorry about this. So we should be okay, but you know there's gonna be some ambient noise and it's. We know we apologize.
This is your insight into what it's like covering the NBA in arenas at around a little past midnight local time in Cleveland, Ohio. But thank you guys for listening. Make sure you follow Sean on Twitter, and you should be already at Hyken. Follow me on Twitter at CWMWrites. Follow both pods. Give both pods 5-star ratings and reviews.
Only
on
five
iTunes.
Stars.
Yeah, we only accept 5 stars. And we'll talk to you guys again soon. We'll do a better quality crossover without all the background noise.
Maybe for the 1-8 playoff matchup.
Yeah, I mean, I'm here for the Banana Boat Series.
I'm in.
I'm in for the Banana Boat
I'm
Series.
I'm in, let's do it.
Yeah, we'll talk to you guys again soon.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.